Bishop McIntyre, my dear brother priests and deacons, fellow religious sisters and brothers in Christ. Bishop McIntyre, who's with us for the celebration this evening, is the bishop among my auxiliary bishops responsible for monitoring our ministry to families in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. So I want to thank him for taking a leadership role in preparing for the World Meeting of Families, which we'll be celebrating in 1 year and 2 weeks here in Philadelphia. On this side of the sanctuary, I'd like to also introduce you a very important member of the Pontifical Council for the Family in Rome, Monsignor Carlos Vasquez, who is the Undersecretary of the Pontifical Council for the Family. Monsignor, we're very, very happy to have you with us, and thank you for all the work you do for the Church. And seated next to him is the priest that we have released from service here in Philadelphia to go to Rome and help the Pontifical Council prepare for the World Meeting of Families, Father William Donovan. He's done a lot of work. I don't think we could get along without him. So Father Donovan, we're also grateful to have you back home, but also for the work you do. So thank you very, very much. Father Donovan. Now, all of these priests are equally important, of course, but I won't introduce all of them to you. There are good pastors who serve here in the Archdiocese. The artist didn't stand when the painting was unveiled. I was sitting in my chair here, and I couldn't see what was going on. But I hope the World Meeting of Families is not going to be that complicated. You know? But I think he's sitting in the front row with his family. So it's a beautiful painting. Perhaps even at this moment, you should come up here. Come up here. You can bring your family with you. Please come up here, and I'd like you to tell us the meaning of the painting with the microphone that's right there. Why don't you all come and stand with your husband and your daddy? And then you can introduce your family and tell us the meaning.
This is very unfair. I did not come prepared for this.
I know.
This is my wife, Colleen, my son, Finn, my son, Eamon, and my daughter, Moira, and I'm Neil. Simply, the painting, as I wrote in the insert, what I wanted to focus on is the centrality of Christ in the painting, which of course we know should be the center of all of our lives and certainly of our families. So hopefully the idea with the painting is to make sure that wherever you end up looking, ultimately your eye always comes back to Christ who is looking at you. And with the hand of blessing right in the center of the painting, blessing you, hopefully when you see it, and blessing the family.
Very good. And the other images in the painting?
I tried to pull in some of the architecture of the cathedral here. There's the on the upper left side is the coat of arms of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. On the upper right side is the coat of arms of Pope Francis, Holy Father. And I tried to mimic to some degree the architecture here to make sure that when you look at the painting, you can see that it was meant for the cathedral, and you can see that how the architecture ties into the space that it's located within.
And then the relationship of Mary and Joseph and the other two figures?
It's Mary and Joseph and Anna and Joachim, so we have the entire extended family of Jesus.
Very good. And it's a very beautiful painting, isn't it?
Thank you. Thank you for the prompting.
And then next Sunday, I travel to Rome, and I hope to present a copy of the painting to the Holy Father. And then on Wednesday of next week, I think it's Wednesday or is it Thursday? Wednesday, we have a press conference where we're going to reveal or display the painting and also talk about the catechism of the family that we prepared. I'll talk about that in a moment. But we're very grateful for your efforts. It's beautiful work. God bless your own family.
Thank
we
you.
Hope that you're very holy.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good job. I think it's good to be spontaneous. That's why I didn't tell him in advance. He did a great job. We celebrate the beginning of the World Meeting of Families this year of preparation on the 23rd Sunday of Ordinary Time. And the church has given us readings that weren't focused on this event, but on a lesson that the church wants us to learn throughout the world. But I think the scripture readings help us to understand our own family in a unique kind of context. So I would like to now reflect on today's scripture readings. I often read the polls that come out about faith in the United States, religion in the United States. There are a number of companies that do that well. One of the most popular or well-known polling companies is the Gallup poll. And not too long ago, I saw a figure that said that 60% of the people in the United States who identify as Christians think that they can be good Christians without the church. 60% think that the church, that to be a Christian does not require the church community. I imagine they see Christianity as basically a personal relationship with Jesus, and I discover that relationship to my own prayer and reflection, and that's all that's necessary. The church is irrelevant. I think today's scripture readings help us to understand that for Catholics, that's not the case. You know, there's a basic difference in the way that Protestants generally understand the church and the way we Catholics understand the church. I say generally because I'm going to speak in generalizations that aren't true about every Christian group, but generally is the way that Protestants view the church. I think Protestants see the church as the gathering of people who believe, and certainly that's what the church is. But the church gathers to support the decisions and reflections of the individual. And because of that, if I don't like what the community thinks and says, I go off to another church. I look for a church that shares my own point of view. And because of that, after the Protestant Reformation, and we certainly needed to be reformed as a church, we see the proliferation of church upon church upon church, with people move off to another community if they don't like what's going on in their community. Now, that's not the way that Catholics view the church, although I think it is the way that many American Catholics view the church today. Now, we don't see the church as something that we choose. We see the church as a gift that's been given to us by God and to which we submit ourselves in faith. In other words, I can't be a Christian without being part of this community that God has given me. And if I have ideas, if I make judgments that are different from the ideas and the judgments of the church, what Catholics do is not go off to another church, but we change our mind and we change our hearts and we submit ourselves to what the church teaches. So the church is a essential means by which Jesus gives us the gift of salvation. It's not ever just Jesus and me, it's always Jesus and us. And we are part of his community. The word ecclesia or ecclesia, from which the English word church eventually is derived, it's a Greek word, means the community that's called out by God, called into existence by God. And today's scripture readings help us to understand that notion of the church. Let's look at today's first reading, which is from the Old Testament, from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Now, the prophets were people that God chose to be his spokesperson. You know, they weren't people who God called to predict the future, but they were people that God chose to use to speak for him. And in this reading, God is giving a lesson to the prophet Ezekiel about his responsibility for other people. Let's look at those words from this scripture passage again. Thus says the Lord, you, son of man, I have appointed watchmen for the house of Israel. A watchman is someone who guards the city, warns the city if something dangerous is approaching. If I tell the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade the wicked from his way, the wicked shall die in his guilt, but I will hold you responsible for his death. So God is telling us that we are responsible for one another. You see how this kind of leads into a reflection on the church. A church is a gathering of people that God calls to be responsible for one another. We're not just responsible for our own salvation. In fact, you know, we can't win salvation. Salvation is a gift that's given us by God. But we have the duty to respond to the grace and to help our brothers and sisters respond to those graces as well. So this is a reading about our responsibility for the community, for one another, which helps us to understand today's gospel. So let's jump to today's gospel. Jesus is speaking to his community in this passage from the Gospel of St. Matthew. And it's a passage that's generally referred to as a lesson in fraternal correction. And we live in the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. The mayor now tells us it's a city of not only brotherly love, but sisterly affection, right? Brotherly love and sisterly affection. So perhaps we shouldn't just refer to fraternal correction, but also sisterly correction. This is what this lesson is about, our responsibility to correct one another. And this is what Jesus teaches us. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. So if we see someone doing something wrong, or they do something that offends us, the first thing we're supposed to do is go to that person alone and challenge that person about what they're doing. That's not the way we generally do it, right? What we generally do is gossip about the person to others, or we jump over the person and we go to someone in higher authority and say, now you take care of that problem. That happens to me all the time as bishop, you know. People have problems with their pastor. They don't ever talk to the pastor, never. They come to me and say, now you got to go back and correct Father, and don't tell him I said so, you know, because we don't want Father to be mad at me. I'd rather have Father be mad at you, I guess, is what they're saying to me. But Jesus says the first thing we do, because we have a responsibility for one another, is to go to that person alone, not to scandalize the rest of the community or gossip or bring them into the situation and correct the situation ourselves. If that doesn't work, Jesus says, get one or two other people to go with you, and perhaps the person who's offending will listen to a larger group. And if he doesn't listen to this group, Jesus says that we should take the question to the church, to the whole community. And if he doesn't listen to the church, we're supposed to treat him as a tax collector and a Gentile. Which, you know, the tax collectors were hated. They were excluded from the community because they were traitors. They were collecting taxes for the Roman authority. And Gentiles, of course, were not Jews, and therefore were not part of the chosen people of God. And so what Jesus is saying to the early community, if people refuse to listen to the community when it calls them to truth, we're supposed to excommunicate them, remove them from communion with the community, not to punish them, but to teach them this lesson. This is a lesson you teach when you exclude someone from the community, is that what they're doing is such a big offense that they've already fractured the community. And you're giving them a lesson about what their sin is actually doing. Again, not to punish them, but to teach them and to call them back to a real unity with the church community. Now, we don't do that today, do we? Because in our culture, we have this sense that everyone has a right to his own opinion. And you shouldn't offend people by insisting that some things are true and some things are right and some things are always wrong. You have a right to your opinion, but I have a right to my opinion. And my opinion is as good as your opinion. But that's not the teaching of Jesus. No, his opinion is not one opinion among many. What he teaches us is the truth. And the church should be a community of love, of truth-telling, and of forgiveness. You know, the trouble with us is we want to be nice when God calls us to be good. You know, nice is not a virtue in the catechism. It's not a virtue. It's kind of a human quality of trying to get along. Now, we should always try to be nice if possible. But if the choice is between being good or being nice, Christians choose to be good, even if it offends our brothers or our sisters. We are to be a community of love, of truth-telling, and of forgiveness. Now, that's the lesson about the church. But it's also a lesson about family life. And that's what we need to focus on today as we begin our reflection on preparation for the world meeting of families. You know, the best place to learn anything is in our families. The church understands the family as the first church, actually. And we see parents as the first teachers of their children in everything, even in matters of faith. So we learn from our parents how to be members of the church. We learn from our parents how to be people, how to be human beings, and how to love, and how to tell the truth, and how to forgive. And so I ask you to examine your family life, not just tonight, but throughout this year. You know, we're going to be presenting the Archdiocese, and actually the whole world, a catechism on the family. It's really a beautiful work. I'll show it to you at the end of Mass when we pray this prayer for the family in preparation for the World Meeting of Families. Dr. Chris Roberts, who's sitting in the second row here, is the primary author of the Catechism of the Family. Chris, we're very grateful for your very hard work, and you have associated yourself with others in doing this, but it's a great gift to the church. And if we can use that catechism seriously, I assure you that it's going to renew our families. And when our families are renewed, that means the whole church is going to be renewed. Now, we have to see the World Meeting of Families 2015 in Philadelphia as the platform that we use to leap into the future to the new church that God wants to give us. You know, when I was contacted 2 years ago by Pope Benedict to consider being at the location for the next meeting of the World Meeting of Families, meeting place, I didn't want to accept the invitation because I thought it would be too much work. And as you know, we've had a lot of difficulties here in Philadelphia over the last several years, and the last thing we needed is something more complicated to confuse us and complicate our lives. But I was wrong. You know, this is a great opportunity that God is giving us, an undeserved grace, as all grace is undeserved, to be renewed and to start again. Because the place, always the place to start again, is our family. So ask yourself these questions. Are your families places of truth-telling? Or do you have a superficial relationship in your family where you're nice but not good? You know? Look at your relationship with your spouse. Do you avoid tension by avoiding the truth? Look at your relationship with your children. It's so difficult to be a parent these days, isn't it? Because there's so many forces working on the family from outside that tear the family apart, and then kind of force your children to think in ways that you don't want them to think and to act in ways you don't want them to act. And some parents, in response to that, just don't say anything, right? They go along to get along so that they're peaceful in their relationship with their children. But we're told very clearly in that first reading from the prophet Ezekiel that we're responsible for one another. And no one's more responsible for his wife than a husband. And no one's more responsible for a husband than the wife. And there's no one more responsible for children than their parents. And there's no one more responsible for your brother, your sister than you. To tell them the truth. And to do it with love. And when you do that, it requires a whole lot of forgiveness, right? We should love one another enough to tell one another the truth. And perhaps it's an even greater sign of love that we love one another enough to let them tell us the truth about ourselves. Sometimes we're anxious to tell other people, but we don't listen to the truth they want to tell us about ourselves. And all of this is really simply a matter of love. Our second reading today is a wonderful summary of Christian understanding of what love is. Love is not, again, like I said earlier, not being nice. It's much more serious than that. This is what St. Paul tells us. Brothers and sisters, owe nothing, owe not one thing, he's saying, to anyone except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. That's all that God ever wants from us, is that we love one another. We love him, of course, but our love for him leads us then to concretely love by loving one another. And all the commandments can be summarized by this notion of love. He goes on to say, the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not kill. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And whatever other commandments there are, are summed up in this saying. Namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no evil to the neighbor. Hence, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, the family is a school of love, right? It's where we learn to love genuinely and seriously. If we don't learn to love in our family, I don't know that we learn it anywhere. So our prayer during this year of preparation should be that the people of Philadelphia model for the rest of the church in the United States and the church in the world, because God has given us this responsibility here in 2015 to be the location of the world, meaning of families. The world is coming here to learn about family life. We, the people of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, have the duty to teach them what this means by the way we live our lives. We can't give what we don't have, right? We can't give lessons in family living unless we live as families ourselves. In our biological family, but also in the family of the church. So I pray that all of us will do our best to become a community of truth-telling, of love and forgiveness. And if we do that, God will do wonderful things. This place of Philadelphia will be the beginning of another revolution, not the American Revolution, but the revolution of family life and family love in the 21st century. May God bring to completion the good things he wills to bring to effect in our lives.